It's time for Spuds. Yeah, it's Spuds time. Our favorite time of the week. It's time to honor the morons whose lives are so unique.
Idiots, jerks,
scum of the earth, well, they're all a part of it. Yeah, it's time for Spuds.
It's time for Spuds.
Stupid people, unbelievably dumb sh**.
Unbelievably dumb sh**. Yeah.
All right, it's time for Spuds on Murray in the Morning. We take you around the world with some stories that just leave you scratching your head.
Yes.
And we start in India, New Delhi. Boy, this is a battle between two groups that you really got to hear about. 4,000 devotees attended the funeral in southern India Sunday of a monkey they believe to be the incarnation of a Hindu god.
Here we come.
The animal strayed several weeks ago into a temple dedicated to the monkey god in a village that I can't pronounce, so I'm not going to mention it. It's got a lot of vowels and a lot of consonants. It's got about 15 letters in it. Villagers refused to release it. This is pretty good. The villagers refused to let the monkey get out. Hundreds visited the monkey each day, seeking its blessing and giving it flowers. Animal rights activists then said the monkey collapsed on Saturday and died of starvation.
Oh.
The villagers wouldn't let the monkey out, and the monkey stayed inside and died of starvation. When the villagers discovered that the monkey sitting on the idol, they thought it was the reincarnation of the ancient god and refused to let it out of the temple.
Wow.
You gotta love those.
What kind of blessing? How do you know a monkey gives you by throwing its feces at you? How would you know how a monkey blesses you?
I don't know. I think the monkey raises its hand, which is usually the sign like, I need food or drink. And they thought it was blessing him. Give me sustenance, please.
Nice.
Anyway, all right. That's it.
Next we go to Oslo, Norway.
Oh.
A humanitarian group criticized McDonald's for a new sandwich called the McAfrica, saying the offering is poorly timed because millions of Africans are facing starvation. Oh, yeah. McDonald's was stung by bad publicity in the Norway media last week when it announced the new sandwich made of beef and vegetables and wrapped in a pita bread at its restaurants in Norway. The sandwich was advertised as being based off of African recipes. Aid groups fear that as many as 13 million people are in danger of starvation in several southern African nations. They called the U.S. fast food giant's campaign distasteful. After a meeting with aid groups, McDonald's Norway agreed last week to print and distribute information about the potential famine and tell Norwegian customers how they can help support the aid groups working in that continent. McDonald's Norway spokesman Margaret, this is a long story, man. McDonald's
and
Norway's,
I have more McDonald's news.
Oh, God. McDonald's Norway spokesman Margaret Bloodshow told the Norwegian news agency last week that McDonald's would take steps to help the AIDS group. Norwegian church group leader Tarjei Vanovic said the group actually liked the name McAfrica and the campaign because it makes food and Africa itself sound exotic and positive.
You hit the post. Here we go.
There you go.
Come here, listen. This won a Grammy in 82 as Best Album, by the way.
Does anybody even know why we're playing it, do you think? There you go.
I bless the rains.
Took a while.
By the way, before we move on to the next story, there is another McDonald's story. They are cutting the fat content in their French fries.
No.
Which will ultimately change the flavor their French fries.
And that's
fries.
What they're known for, too,
there.
Is their
yeah.
fries.
That's it.
It's their fries that suck you into getting, like, the big and tasty or the big and hammy or whatever the hell it's called now.
This is the equivalent of Coke changing their recipe back in 1981 or 1982, whatever year it was.
This could be disastrous.
Yeah, this really could be a disaster for McDonald's.
They
we
should
want
keep
the
their
fat.
Regular fries and then go low fat.
Yeah, give us a choice.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to buy the low-fat stuff, but
the
give us a choice.
The McAfrica, huh?
McAfrica.
That's great.
And I love that it said the last thing was positive.
Uh-huh.
It sounds exotic and positive.
Uh-huh.
Why are they doing McAfrica in Norway? That's the question that I had about the
You'd
whole story.
You'd be surprised. There is I've been there. My aunt lives there.
In Norway?
Yeah. She lives in Oslo.
A lot of Africans?
You have a lot of everything over there.
Okay.
And they tend to theme stuff. But anyway, our next story takes us
to theme stuff.
Our next story takes us to L.A.
Disney Rice.
Animal shelter staff in L.A. are being asked to dress up their strays to encourage people to adopt them. A report issued by city controller Laura Chick suggests dressing dogs and cats in sweaters, bows, and collars. It says the department should investigate the feasibility of developing special programs to enhance the presentation of impounded animals. The shelter's general manager, Jerry Greenwald, says the department looks after around 1,000 dogs, cats, birds, turtles, horses, and other animals. He said there are so many greater needs than putting neckerchiefs on dogs.
You know, neckerchiefs?
Yeah, or handkerchiefs.
Turtles?
Sure.
They're turtles in a shelter? Throw it on the toilet, man.
Oh.
Come on.
What? Who's going to adopt a turtle?
You
what?
Put a bow tie on a turtle, and I'm walking out with a half a dozen of them, right?
What about the big ones, like the Teenage Mutant Ninja ones? You know?
Okay, those I like because they can wrap.
It's awfully difficult to flush a wrapping Mutant Ninja Turtle down a toilet.
Vanilla ice hanging out.
Right.
I had a turtle growing up.
Yeah, so did I for about a week. Yeah. And then you're like, these things are stupid.
Like
they
goldfish.
Don't do anything.
They're meant to die.
No, my cat ate it.
A turtle?
My cat ate my turtle.
Your cat was
horrible.
Fat.
My cat ate every single pet I had. My hamsters, my gerbil,
my dog.
I'm telling you.
All right, Dateline Australia. And for this one, Rob, we may have to cue some very special music for this story. Ah, gives me chills. More than 70,000 Australians identified their religion as Jedi, Jedi Knight, or Jedi-related in last year's National Australian Census. The high number of Jedi The high number of Jedi-related religions was a response to an email published before the census calling on Star Wars fans to state Jedi as their religion. Here's a quote. If there are enough people in the country, about 10,000, who put down the same religion, it becomes a fully recognized and legal religion, the email said. So Australia, home of the Olympics several years ago, and boy, does Sydney put on a party. Good God. Now, ton of Jedis walking around Australia, so you know it's safe.
And their God is what? The Ewoks or something?
Yeah,
like that?
It's got to be.
Who are they going to bring into a temple and starve to death?
Chewbacca.
They all sing the Ewok song as their religious thing. Anybody remember that?
Sure.
No. Yeah. I know the song, but I don't remember the song. How does it go?
I can't. I'm
it's
trying to
it's
think
like
of it
this, like, Yawa. Da 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 da. The choice is up to you. La la.
Yes,
yeah,
that's it.
That's right. All right, Lincoln, Nebraska. Someone slipped a copy of Miss Abby Fitch Martin.
Oh.
No idea what the book is. But
noted
Ms.
author.
Abby Fitch Martin. I don't know. I think that's actually the book, not the author. Miss Abby Fitch Martin.
No, yeah, Abby Fitch Martin wrote the book. Abby Fitch Martin.
Abby Fitch Martin.
Right. Someone slipped a copy of it into the book drop Sunday, more than 13,500 days past its due date. The due date card stamped February 17, 1965, was still in the back pocket, but the index card listing the borrower has long disappeared. Hansen said the library would not try to collect the late fee of about $3,000. $400.
Wow.
That's a lot of pennies.
It's a lot of microfiche you could buy. It's always funny to use the word microfiche, and now that I've done it, I'll remain quiet.
Yeah, let's move on.
Right. Dateline, Fort Pierce, Florida, FLA. Bowling, a perfect game is tough, but how about doing it at 82 years old and just 17 days after a partial stroke? A Vero Beach man did just that. Ted Bryan had been temporarily incapable of speech and unable to lift his right arm.
But he can bowl.
His bowling arm. Right, a little more than 2 weeks before bowling a 300 game during league play Wednesday at Forest Pierce Bowling Alley. Bryan, who bowls 5 days a week and carries a 190 average, once rolled a 280 game, but had never rolled a perfect game before. So apparently, all you struggling golf bowlers out there, get a stroke and you will be perfect.
Yeah, more compliments to a guy that overcomes that to bowl a 300 game, but really points out that bowling is the stupidest and easiest game known to man. You get up there and roll a ball straight. Now I can't do a 300, but I mean it's bowling.
Exactly,
it's easier when they put the rubber in the gutter.
So yeah, I've done that.
That's actually pretty
bumper
fun.
Bowling.
Yeah, bumper bowling. That's what it's called.
It's
right.
Easier during that and when you're hammered.
Yeah. Oh,
that's when bowling becomes.
Bowling is easier when you're drunk and you're doing shots. Yeah.
Right.
Well, because you don't care.
Right.
There
you
is no strategy. You're not trying to develop a strategy while you're.
And
walking
that's
up
when
here.
You start bowling goofy. And Rob, that sound effect was great. But Rob Wozinski, our producer, is one of the few people who, along with me, are non-gay guys who share a love for the movie Grease 2. Rob, there's a huge bowling scene in Grease 2, and I thought for sure. That song would have come after this segment.
You know, I have that soundtrack, too. What was I thinking?
I have it, too. We'll listen to it and share a bonding moment after the show. How about that?
Oh, the only bowling movie I like is Kingpin.
How about Big Lebowski?
Big Lebowski is by far the
best. I never saw the Big Lebowski.
That's a great movie, yeah.
I got to see it. No,
it's
a
great
it, yeah.
movie.
Yeah, I've heard it's great. But Kingpin was great.
Yeah, it was funny. Kingpin Bill was Murray great, was great in it, but I do like Big Lebowski better. Yeah,
me, too.
Never saw it. Anyway, our next story takes us to Connecticut. Police say they've solved the mystery of a cross-dressing Girl Scout cookie salesman. Someone complained last week that a young man in a big blonde wig and a red pleated skirt was going door to door taking orders for Girl Scout cookies. Who is it?
Girl Scouts. Want to buy some cookies?
Oh, who comes creepy. Up with this stuff?
Oh, it's creepy.
The production values just keep soaring.
Yeah, I'll tell you,
Rob,
that took about
great.
10 seconds.
Our cast of thousands.
police say they learned the seller, who resembled country star Dolly Parton, was taking part in a summer camp initiation. A camp counselor called police to tell them it was all a prank and apologize. The counselor also promised they've seen the last of door-to-door Dolly.
She looked like Dolly Parton, or he looked like Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not something I want to picture, a guy dressed up to look like Dolly Parton.
I do want to picture a chick who looks like Dabney Coleman.
That's right.
I don't know if it's a problem or not.
But before we go to the next story, can we just hear that wonderful piece of production that we did? Because it was really, really good. Really want to hear that again. This was for the Girl Scout cookies.
Aggressive knocker.
Who is it?
Girl Scouts. Want to buy some cookies?
Sounds like Beavis and Butthead.
That's what it sounds
Beavis
like. It's like Beavis is delivering Girl Scout cookies.
That's pretty funny. All right, Dateline NBC every night at 8 o'clock. Dateline San Andreas, California. Authorities said they followed a trail of meat juice to a woman suspected of stealing steak from a neighbor's barbecue. Once again, meat juice.
If you would have slowed down, I would have thought the story was about something else.
Well, then I'll keep reading fast, because that's horrifying. Calaveras County authorities arrested Lindsay Blackledge for allegedly stealing the steak off the outdoor grill when her neighbor wasn't looking. Oh, nice.
Nobody has any idea what we're doing. We have to start explaining our effects to people.
Wait, Bruce, it's the meat cops. Who doesn't get that?
That's right, exactly.
So,
they're all over the place.
Blackledge was arrested on suspicion of receiving stolen property and having an outstanding warrant for allegedly stealing stolen property in an unrelated case. But once again,
she stole a piece of meat.
But not just the meat. Authorities tracked it thanks to the meat juice.
Once again, cooking something rare is your best bet when someone's going to steal your meat.
More meat, more juice.
Right. If it's well done, there's very little juice that can lead a trail. So that's why everything I have is rare.
Right, you got to do it.
Right. For fear that someone would steal my meat.
Especially if you're Lindsay Blackledge. Yeah.
I'm absolutely clueless as to what's going on right now. All right, we have to take a break. I didn't get to the cocaine story.
Oh, I have
for
a
next
good
week.
Cow
this
story.
Is a good one.
I made a cow story.
Save a cow story, save a cocaine story, because that's it for Spuds this week. Stupid people and unbelievably dumb. Hey, send your emails to murrayinthemorning.com.